Have you ever felt invisible? Have you ever moved in a crowd and felt unseen? Or been present in a conversation and felt totally spoken over? Or met at a door with rudeness and lack of welcome? Have you ever been ignored in a meeting? The blood rushes to your cheeks and there's a sick feeling in your stomach. Perhaps you have felt invisible, seeking to advocate for your loved one who is in hospital or palliative care. Why aren't those doctors listening to me? This isn't what my loved one requested. The apostle St. James the Just, the author of the letter of James, according to tradition, is very concerned about who gets noticed and who gets neglected. He is so concerned with this that he hinges how we exclude one another as a testimony of the faith that lives within us. My brothers and sisters, he writes, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? Who gets catered to and who gets ignored says a lot about the faith that lives within us. Now, some scientists say that we are biologically wired to be drawn towards tribalism, to people that look or smell or talk like us. It's only natural to seek to impress people that are like us or to favor someone who thinks like I do. And what feels natural must be good, right? Not so, says James. James is a tough guy. He's called James the Just for good reason. He calls things out as they are, and he gets to the heart of the matter. He says that ultimately, how we love one another reflects our love of God. This is why he connects favoritism to belief in God. This stems from James' own experience of following Jesus. He was likely the brother of Jesus. He knew him from Adam. He heard Jesus preach, "What you do to the least, you do to me." When you welcome the stranger, visit the prisoner, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, comfort the grieving, you do this to God. James the Just proclaims a gospel of the total collapsing of God and humanity in the person of Jesus. In Jesus' very self, his very flesh, the outcast and the author of life are unified. The criminal, the poor carpenter, the disdained, ignored Messiah, the outlaw is crowned with divinity, glory, and all the powers of heaven. And in that unification, in that body, he changes everything. No longer, according to James, can we proclaim a belief in God and look down on or judge the person next to me. The other is no longer other, but is an icon of the divine. What is strange, what is an outsider, what is ignored, all neighbors become an icon, an image for us of that God in flesh in Jesus. Faith without works is dead, because faith is not something that simply resides in our heads. James the Just was a devout Jew, and he knew this. Twice a day, he would recite the Shema Israel, a mitzvah, a blessing. And this prayer that Jews to this day recite daily proclaims a one God who is love, who is united with us and to us in unity of hearts. And James, as an early Jewish Christian, understands the Shema to be our theological union with God in Jesus. The collapsing of the human and the divine. What you do to the least, you do to me. How you love people is how you love me, Jesus says. James, in his letter, connects this unity of God to equality between neighbors. Loving God with a whole heart means not acting with favoritism or discrimination towards others. We have all felt invisible in our lives, overlooked, ignored, not welcome. And in turn, we all have done this, even in small ways, to each other. I feel convicted by James when he writes, "If a brother or sister is naked and lacks food daily, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill,' yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that? So faith by itself without works is dead." James makes this personal. From his perspective, we can't just refer people elsewhere to get their physical needs met. We can't just say, "Okay, peace, see you later." We are responsible for each other. James calls us to vulnerable intimacy, where we greet one another with a generous hospitality that we are encountering in the other an icon of Christ. James the Just would have an issue, I think, with how our society takes care of one another. In his community, in the community of the early church, they took hospitality very seriously. That's why you see it coming up so much in Scripture. They would all pool their money together to take care of their vulnerable members. And each Christian was expected to have something called a Christ room in their home. It could be a bedroom, or if they were a poor family, it would be an extra mat rolled up in the corner. The Christ room was dedicated to the homeless or the stranger. The guest was expected to be treated by the family like Christ himself, seen as the divine in our midst. This is key because this practice was not about welcoming the homeless or vulnerable member of the community that looked and acted like Jesus with a halo over their head. No, they interpreted Jesus' teachings that whatever you do to the most hurting person, you do to Christ. Their body is his body. Our bodies are God's body. This is about an intimate encounter of mutual vulnerability, of hearts extended in community and communion, because that is the enfleshment of faith in God's love. And a radical God of unity who comes in total unity with our human frailty. Not when humanity is tidy or mentally sound or has their ducks in a row do we resemble Christ. But in the midst of our chaos and helplessness and weakness and our own experiences of feeling cast out or judged or written off because of our age or anything about us, in those experiences of weakness, we are still in total union with God. We bear Christ's image. We are still crowned with the jewel of divinity and dignity. And when we meet one another in that mutual vulnerability, in that shared humanity and shared divinity, when we treat the vulnerable and the hurting one as Christ, we enflesh the faith that lives inside of us. Now, this might contradict our current practices of caring for one another in our culture. If somebody comes to my office, as happens very frequently every week, and says, "I just lost my housing, I don't know what to do," the best I can think of is referring them to a shelter. Despite the fact that most shelters in Toronto are full, and people sleep in tough conditions, crowded, sleeping on nothing but a thin yoga mat, and if you've been camping, you know what that feels like. People cough and snore and fight around you through the night, and some shelters have 80 people sharing one toilet. In this sense, care and responsibility for one another are depersonalized. Staff often sit behind a glass barrier to monitor the room. Many Toronto shelter and public housing workers report feeling understaffed, underpaid, and even frequently are assaulted and experience violence on the job. I wonder if I had to sleep in those kind of conditions for endless weeks on a hard floor, how long it would be before I snapped and lashed out. When we strip people of dignified conditions, we injure their bodies, minds, and spirits. What might Jesus and his brother James say about our culture of caring? Where are the Christ rooms of our age? What kind of letter might James write to us, a cathedral located in the heart of the city? Under our current culture, we value efficiency, and social services are being pressured to serve more and more people with less resources and adequate staffing. We are pushed to serve people broadly instead of serving people deeply. Do we serve people like numbers in a line, or do we greet one another at the door with an expectation of seeing Christ in the other? As summer begins to wind down and winter approaches, refugees continue to flee violence at staggering and unprecedented rates. And we continue to slice back at social services and we ask, am I my brother's keeper? Who is responsible to house human beings who find themselves on cold and dangerous streets, displaced or without housing? Who is responsible, as James states, to supply their bodily needs? Here and now, we hear the voice of James in this cathedral, and we continue to discern our vocation as a cathedral located in the heart of the city, and we encounter in Jesus a God who says, show me your faith, show me your heart, see me in others, especially in times of vulnerability and desperation. See my divinity in one another and in yourself, and be surprised. Enflesh your love, for I am in you, and through me, your faith can move mountains. Thanks be to God.